It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, welcome into the Insiders on a Friday. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. What's the matter?
I don't hear you in my ears.
I don't know.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, Kyle.
Check. Hello. Yeah, I think I'm good.
All right. Let's roll.
Do I hear me in my ears? I don't think I hear me in my ears, though.
Oh.
Uh-oh. I hear you.
Oh, now I hear you.
There we go.
Now we're
there.
Can
you hear me now? Okay, here we go.
I can't hear you now. We've...
Okay, hang on. Let's start. Let's fire this back up.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And welcome in. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're hanging out with you until noon here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader at noon. We'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they'll take you into the weekend. Man, it is such a good thing that it was Chiefs-Ravens in week one of the NFL season, just like you and I said yesterday. What a decision by the NFL to roll with Chiefs-Ravens in week one instead of some random week like week nine. Hell of a game last night at Arrowhead.
That was a hell of a game. A hell of a game. I thoroughly enjoyed what was happening. You couldn't look away. You couldn't look away, and it went all the way down the stretch, and at the end of the day, you know, like, the Chiefs do what the Chiefs do.
Do you think that, yeah, see, oh, I know, no, I don't. See, do you see what's happening here?
Yes, I see what's happening here. That's one of those things. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and talk while Kyle tries figure out what's happening with our...
What about this side?
...situation.
Is this better?
Nope. That's not helping.
Is this better?
I think that might be better. I don't know. We're having technical difficulties, but we'll fight through it for just a minute. Yeah, heck of a game. Chiefs-Ravens came all the way down to the final play, which ends up being like one of the most incredible like replay finishes that we've seen.
Kevin Durant-esque.
Kevin, wild. Yeah, I like for me, it's one of those games that we're gonna. I think it was a perfect kickoff to the NFL season, and we have a team literally lose on the final play of the game because their tight end's feet are too big.
Because he wears a shoe that's a half size bigger than it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so brutal, dude.
If he was wearing like a size 11 shoe, he would have been inbounds, and if not, no.
Jonathan, our engineer, is here. And Jonathan, I'm just going to explain to you what's happening. As you can see here, I'm not being heard on the radio. And also my levels there are super low to the point that it makes me think that maybe like James's mic is the one that's picking me up.
I believe that that's probably the case.
It looks like I'm up, right? Pause.
Yeah.
And I hear James in my headphones. I don't hear me in my headphones.
And I don't really hear you in my headphones.
James doesn't hear me in his headphones either.
Unless it's you coming through my microphone.
I know. That's what I did. Look, it's registering here, right? And when I tap the microphone, it registers.
Oh, now I hear.
So you hear that, but not my voice.
Now I'm hearing you a little bit more, but I've got to turn.
What about now?
That's perfect.
Okay. So I just have to pop myself all the way up today.
Oh, okay. Fixed.
It makes me believe Damien when he said he had a problem.
Right? Yeah. Anytime you say something and the engineer goes, that's not good.
No.
Jonathan, thank you. I will. 28 is when we break. I'll come. Should I reset the board? Try that first?
Yeah, well,
okay, great. Okay, great. All right, good. We're working this out. Good morning, everybody. We're going to try this again. Hang on.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Good morning, everybody. A very happy Friday to you. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We're hanging out with you until noon on the Insiders, and we'll take you up to D'Lo and KC at noon, and they will take you into the weekend right here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320, Chiefs 27, Ravens 20, and you said it, if I'm Isaiah Likely,
yep,
the tight end who made the catch in the back of the end zone on the final play of the game, I'm going to the equipment room today. I'm going. It's usually like Players Day off today, or they might do film or something in the facility. Players Day off is usually Tuesday, so they'll be in the facility doing film, whatever, today, getting treatment. I'm going right to the training room, and I'm going, hey, I wear a 13. I need a 12 and a half right now. I will squeeze my foot into a 12 and a half. That's so brutal, dude.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant-esque.
It was...
With the... Just the... Yeah. The... Yeah. So little toe on the line that I wasn't convinced until that last replay from the corner of the end zone looking down the line on the from the corner nearest where likely was.
Yeah.
Then it was very clear he was out of bounds. But all the other ones, it's like...
I right when it happened, I'm like, oh no, his toe's on the line. Like I caught it on the first pull. I'm like, that's not good.
Yeah.
So we even had like a text thread with some buddies and like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a touchdown.
That's,
yeah. So I don't know. We've had like multiple false starts, like the Ravens right tackle.
some illegal formations. No, or illegal procedures. Last night was the full Lamar Jackson experience.
100%.
Every discussion that we have about Lamar Jackson on this show, that D'Lo and KC have, that we have with D'Lo and KC on this show and on their show, it was all encapsulated last night. I didn't think Lamar was great last night, but then you look in the chatty house and our guy Bryce in the chatty house is like, Lamar was awesome! And everything about Lamar, he goes... 16 carries, 122 yards, behind an offensive line that was a sieve. Their offensive line was so bad last night. But he goes 26 to 41, 273 yards. He has a touchdown. He lost a fumble early in the game. And then down the stretch at the end of the game, he gets them in position to win or tie. The Ravens were going to go for two if the touchdown counted.
Yeah, they were.
Which I thought was awesome. But he gets them in position. He has a really bad throw to Isaiah Likely on first down. The second down throw was apparently not to Zay Flowers. It was supposed to be to Rashad Bateman.
Okay.
Which I have a bigger problem with because Zay Flowers was wide open.
You just hit the wide open guy.
Then why did you not throw it to him?
Yeah.
That's almost worse than, yeah, I was on the move. I misfired. He didn't sit down. I thought he was going to sit down. You know, whatever. Not a good throw. No matter who he was throwing it to. Not a good throw.
Yep.
And then on third down, throws it where only his tight end can go get it. But his tight end comes down with the toe of his cleat out of bounds. And I think it caught what I've been trying to say about Lamar Jackson and what I've been trying to articulate about Lamar Jackson. Because Damian yesterday said it's Patrick Mahomes is in tier one. Lamar Jackson is in tier two. Everyone else is tier three and below.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you can put Lamar Jackson near the top at or near the top of tier two, but he hasn't completely separated himself from players like Joe Burrow and players like Josh Allen to me. And it's this. It is the margins of error in these big games where Lamar Jackson, quote unquote, falls short. The margin of error is so small. It is so, so thin. It is a toe of your cleat. And if you're going to misfire or you're going to make one mistake in a game, like the AFC Championship game, like a divisional playoff game, like a road game against the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football for week one of the regular season. If you make one or two small mistakes that every other quarterback makes, every quarterback fumbles, every quarterback's gonna have a bad pass. But it's in those moments where it's like the margin of error is not wide enough for you to make that mistake, and he just falls on the wrong side of it. He's not a bad player. He's one of very few quarterbacks, I think, that would have had the Ravens in position to win last night. That is, without a doubt, that's why he's a tier two quarterback to me. But when it comes down to, making the winning play, you have three shots at the end zone, and you badly misfire on two of them.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, this is something that I think when you're looking at all of the quarterbacks in the league, there's one guy that separates himself like so far and above everyone else. Mm-hmm. And the way that I'll kind of like, I think we can all understand that Dan Marino is one of the greatest passers of all time, right?
He's incredible.
Watching Dan Marino throw a football was absolutely amazing. He's the first guy who breaks 5,000 yards. He, you know, like has this magical season. Mm-hmm. But there was always a Joe Montana that could beat him. And Joe Montana is a player that it doesn't matter. It's all about winning. And when it comes down to it, don't look at the stats. Don't worry about how pretty it was. Don't worry about any of that. Mm-hmm. The only thing that really matters in the NFL mm-hmm. is one thing, and it's winning. Can you win a ball game?
Yep.
And it's why I don't care what kind of receivers, what kind of running back, what kind of offensive line, what kind of defense he has. That's what separates Brock Purdy and why I keep saying, what are we talking about here?
Sure.
Not only does he put up the numbers, there's not even 4,300 yards and 31 touchdowns. Like, he did that. Mm-hmm. But he also wins. Mm-hmm. He has the same, we looked this up, what the same amount of wins as Tony Romo, playoff wins, mm-hmm. as Tony Romo and Dak Prescott combined in their playoff, in their careers.
Crazy.
He's got what the same amount of career wins in the playoffs as Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, there's all of these players you can just say, like, there's something about, there's an intangible thing that mm-hmm. that some guys have and some guys don't. And until one of these other guys gets it and becomes that guy as well, where, you know, winning a Super Bowl is one thing, but also being able to do it on a week in and week out basis. I think Burrow is the one guy mm-hmm. who has just a huge, huge number of fourth quarter wins early in his career.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because his team was bad and mm-hmm. he was bringing his team back all the time, right?
Yeah.
But these other guys, they have to figure out a way to beat a Patrick Mahomes. And, like, look, he had it all laid out in front of him. He had it all laid out in front of him. And Mahomes made the big mistake. He threw the pick,
yep.
which was not a good play at all. He almost threw two.
Yep.
And, like, realistically, he's the one in this scenario. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, Lamar once again showed you he can't win it when it's right there. And that's tough. And there's going to be plenty of games he does win throughout his career.
100%.
But there are games that matter a little bit more. And whether it's week one or it's week nine, where we would rather have seen that game, mm-hmm. I thought it was a wonderful football game. I thought it was a perfect kickoff to the NFL season. But at the same time, it once again reinforced what we keep saying. Until somebody else can separate themselves and come up in these situations time and time and time again, mm-hmm. whether it's against Mahomes or it's against someone else, but prove that they're that guy in that situation, then you can't, there's no separation. There is no separation between him and Josh Allen. Like, I don't care about the numbers.
That's what this conversation is about for me. This is why Lamar has not, even though he has won two MVPs, and my buddy Sean, shout out to my buddy Sean, he texted me this morning and said, am I wrong to think, and Sean, I'm sorry if you didn't want me to say this on the radio, but here you go. Am I wrong to think that Lamar Jackson could use a more innovative offensive scheme around his talents? I don't think it's that dire, because we've seen Lamar Jackson win two MVP awards with two different offensive coordinators,
yeah.
one of which he won in the first year with his new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. That's remarkable. Not that many, and that's why Lamar is very high in tier two for me.
Yes.
It's why he is with Josh Allen and Joe Burrow still, is because, okay, yes, he has the two MVPs. And he's done so under different circumstances. Like, that's hard to do. That is so hard to do. And he has the Ravens in position to win that game last night. That matters for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why he's not lower in tier two or a tier three guy. He single-handedly dragged the Ravens, thanks in part to miscues by Patrick Mahomes. But down the stretch of that game, he's having to bail out because the offensive line wasn't doing enough. I still think that their overall playmaking at the pass catcher spots is not above league average.
Yeah.
Just kind of top to bottom. And he's still able to overcome that and get into position to win, which, okay, but two misfires, and then the margin of error is so small that any minor mistake, like your tight end coming down with a foot half an inch further back, And he's in, and we're talking, and that's the thing, and that's why this is the full Lamar Jackson experience last night.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple of frustrating mistakes. For the most part, he was awesome. 16 carries, 122 yards. He throws for 271. He has a touchdown. And if Isaiah Likely comes down with that ball in bounds, and the Ravens go for two and get the 2-point conversion, we're coming in here today going, Lamar did it. Lamar is stamped.
He's that guy.
Is he in tier one with Patrick Mahomes now? Like, and that's just it. That's
That's how close Lamar is, and that's why he's one of very few quarterbacks who are right there. He's one of very few quarterbacks who are, man, if he gets over the hump one time, he'll be stamped forever. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl in 20 years. But, hey, he got that Super Bowl, so Aaron Rodgers is stamped forever now.
Well, even that last MVP he got, he didn't deserve the MVP that year. He wasn't the best player in football.
Yeah.
But he got it anyways, and it's because he won games. Yeah. And, you know, I see people in the chat, Chatty House After Party, mm-hmm. blaming Lamar is wild. I'm not blaming
it's
Lamar.
Not blaming him.
No. What I'm saying is that, like, if you want to be that guy, you have to be that guy in the moment. You have to be that guy. Like, show me you're the guy. And I don't care about the numbers. Like, go win the game. The game was there for the taking. And if that would have gone to overtime, they would have lost in overtime or whatever. Like, it still would have been like, oh my gosh, you see him lead that fourth quarter. He got the ball. He marched down the field. He made the play. It would have been, okay, I get it. He's becoming that guy. But he didn't.
This is the opposite of blaming Lamar Jackson. This is a discussion for me about why when Damian, and there are a lot of people with very smart people smarter than me, on Damian's side of the argument that it's Patrick Mahomes 1, Lamar Jackson 2, everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I can't put Lamar Jackson by himself. It's not blaming him for the loss last night. I've said it 10 times today. Their offensive line was terrible. The fact that they were even in that game is because of Lamar Jackson. The fact that they were even in that game and the fact that Lamar had them in a position to win,
yes,
is why he is in tier 2 firmly, and you want to put him at the top of that tier, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yep.
But he hasn't separated himself from a Josh Allen, from a Joe Burrow, because of what you just said, James. Because, dude, you got it. Like, getting the W at some point matters in that discussion when you're trying to, when we're nitpicking and everything is, I like this thing about this player, I don't like this thing about that player. Yeah, but Lamar does X, Y, and Z better than Burrow does. And when you're just nitpicking and doing that, like, eventually getting over that hump and being that dude, you got to get a W in that spot. And he didn't. And that's why that was the Lamar Jackson experience. He was amazing.
Yep.
He was awesome. And the Ravens, for pick a reason, came up short.
Yeah. 16 carries, 122 yards, 26 of 41, 273 yards, mm-hmm. and a touch. I again, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous.
I will say, I am so angry that Paul Marshall, morning show host down at 98 Rock, was talking to Damian yesterday, said, Lamar Jackson's overrated because of ball security.
Oh.
He fumbles all the time. Second drive of the game, Lamar fumbles. It's like, And then Paul, first thing he does this morning when he sees us, hey, what'd I tell ya? What did I say? Damn it. Because I don't think Lamar's overrated. Like, I am very much in the camp that Lamar is one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like firmly there.
No, I also like calling just him overrated. Like he's like, as of right now, if he plays another 5, 6 years, 7 years, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. He probably already is a Hall of Famer.
He could retire today and he's gone.
Well, because he's only got like 6 seasons. I don't know if he can. I mean, I know Patrick Willis made it in with 8 and was like, he had to wait a year.
Mm-hmm.
When
he had to wait 5 years.
That long? Mm-hmm. It took that long for him to get in? Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
This is not a Lamar Jackson stinks. Lamar Jackson's, this is not that. It was just, hey man, you want a good example of why he's not by himself? What just happened?
The moment was there.
Why he's in tier two, why he's a tier two guy,
yep,
was on display. He is freaking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Why he's not a tier one guy was also on display. That was it. The Ravens are going to win a bunch of games this year. Lamar Jackson's going to be in the MVP conversation, and that's how it's going to be.
I agree.
Call me in the playoffs. Call me in the postseason, and that's where I want to see Lamar really thrive. Yeah. I'm rooting for him. I want that.
Yeah.
I so badly want to see somebody other than Patrick Mahomes come out of the AFC, and I think Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have as good of a shot as any team to do it.
Yep.
So, a couple other things from last night. I mentioned the Ravens offensive line. It's really bad. How about Xavier Worthy? NFL debut, first touch, 21-yard rushing touchdown. It was two catches, 47
yards.
Yards,
yeah. He's electric. He's electric. He's super fun. I really want to talk to Faraz Siddiqui about this specific player because we watched him score two touchdowns, the blown coverage on the pass reception, whatever. I mean, I think he still could have ran right by somebody. But how are we going to judge a player who scores two touchdowns, has 47 yards receiving, has a 21-yard rushing touchdown, but also touched the ball three times? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to have these situations all the time,
right?
Where it's just like that easy.
Yeah, from a just watching standpoint, it's like, great. Can't wait for Xavier Worthy to touch the ball because, holy crap, he's so electric.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But from a fantasy standpoint, it's like, hey, is this a reliable guy week in and week out?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll talk to Faraz Siddiqui. Fantasy Friday begins today.
That's right.
10:30, Faraz Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy and Odyssey Podcast is going to join the show. You can call in and ask questions. You can jump into the chatty house on youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. You can fire away with your questions there. James and I ask him some generic stuff. We have a team together this year,
yep,
that we're definitely going to be asking about, but then we try and spend most of the time answering your questions. So get those questions in now. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you would like to either join the conversation or ask Faraz Siddiqui a question coming up here at 10:30. The thing that was so fun about Xavier Worthy is he moves just different. It's not only that he's fast, but the way that touchdown he scored where he ran the out and then up,
mm-hmm,
the way he ran that, he wasn't rounding the route off. He was running a sharp route, but the way he moves so quickly that it just looks like he's jogging and gliding through his route.
Yeah, he's just a blur.
It is outrageous.
It's very, very much like, why am I drawing a blank?
Tyreek Hill. Yeah.
Like, even when, if you remember, like, it used to be Mahomes would just throw the ball as far as he could, and Tyreek Hill would adjust to the ball in the air in a way that you don't typically see a guy who's running full speed, mm-hmm, be able to cut back underneath the player and make an adjustment. He just has, like, this weird ability to be on balance at all times, and yeah. I think that that's what we're seeing from Worthy. You know, again, like, the way that he was, so, like, once he got the ball, it was like, whoa, like, you're like, holy cow, look how fast he is.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit, too, of, like, the way that they're going to use him is going to be very Debo-esque. Mm-hmm. It's just their different style of runner, because Debo's such a big dude.
Yeah.
And Worthy's not. Worthy's going to get crushed a couple of times, and it's going to be like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If guys can catch up to him.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought his first touchdown last night, the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, I think everybody's freaking out because he ran a 4.2 and everybody was just expecting him to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why everybody... But then I saw a couple different angles because I texted Biederman and I went, Chris Biederman, my friend of the program, friend of the station, my podcast co-host, and I was like, I didn't think that was that crazy. I feel like we've seen Debo do that 15 times.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know, those two, 53 and another guy had angles on him and whiffed entirely. And so I watched a couple different angles. Yeah, he's right. Not everybody's running past those guys.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's super fun and I can't wait to see what he looks like. But they also had other players that, like, I thought...
Rashee Rice
was stellar. Yeah. And it's the funny thing is he runs the Travis Kelce route.
Yeah.
But then he's way lower to the ground. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kelce always catches the ball and makes a spin move one way. And it's like you got to figure out which way he's spinning. Yeah. I don't know how that's possible that they miss so often. But with Rice, it was so much like in the flow, catch the ball, make your quick turn, and boom, like a bolt of lightning. He is going to be really, really good as long as his career doesn't get sidetracked by stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see how all of his court stuff plays out midway through the season. But... just like I think he's going to be special for them and really take a lot of pressure off of Travis Kelce, especially as he's aging out of the league.
I wanted to check something with Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice's average depth of target last night. He only had two targets in the intermediate range, 10 to 19 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Six in the short range, 0 to 9, and one behind the line of scrimmage. It's what you just said. It is the, okay, Travis Kelce's getting a little old. We'll talk about him in a second. But, hey, we're going to dominate the middle of the field. Not with Travis Kelce anymore. Now it's going to be Rashee Rice.
and he's going to run a slant. He's going to run a little quick in. We're going to run a screen on this play, and he's going to get open, and he's going to create yards after the catch. It is the modern offense in the NFL, and Rashee Rice is very, very good at it. And Patrick Mahomes just does a great job of hitting him in stride and putting him in a position to pick up those yards after the catch. How much have we talked about that with Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to hit him in stride. And
it's interesting because when you're building a receiving core, you have to have the guy who can blow the top off the defense, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the Chiefs have a couple of those guys, whether it's Worthy, which we, even the play that he caught, the touchdown that he caught was like a weird coverage. It was blown coverage. You know, again, it's possible he would have blown right by somebody either way. But they also have Hollywood Brown, and they've got Juju Schuster-Smith. Like there was a point early on where they had two drops in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Like Juju should have had a ball, at the 1 yard line, maybe even a
might
touchdown.
Might have been a touchdown, yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't get counted as a drop.
Huh.
Because it got knocked away.
When he hit the ground, he dropped it. That's interesting. That wasn't a drop.
Hmm.
I mean, because he had it until he hit the ground and then he lost it. It was a little high. Maybe that's why. But still, I think they have so many of the angles covered. And then they've got Pacheco who just, you know.
He looks like a nightmare to try and tackle.
You know what he looks like? And it's not his game doesn't match up perfectly.
Yeah.
He runs like Roger Craig. Mm. So high knees, a little bit vertical, but he's just ferocious and
so violent.
Doesn't stop. His legs don't stop churning. We saw the play where he lands on the defensive player and then gets up and gets the first down.
Ridiculous.
Which was absolutely tremendous. But the way the force and the ferocious nature of his running style, he really reminds me of Roger Craig.
Yeah. He looks, it's like fighting a grizzly bear. Just every time he runs the football.
Yeah.
It looks, I want no smoke with Isaiah Pacheco. I want no smoke with any NFL players, just to be clear.
Yeah.
But Isaiah Pacheco, if I'm making a list of guys I want to try and tackle, he's way at the bottom. Yeah. Might be at the very bottom.
Well, Derrick Henry's right
Debo,
there.
It's like Derrick Henry. Yeah, no, I think it goes Debo. Pacheco, Debo, Derrick Henry. I think in that order.
Okay.
Is the guys I want the least amount of smoke with.
Do not want to, even if you're form tackling and you hit his legs, you could easily just get knocked out.
I am
hitting
dislocating a shoulder. Yeah. I'm breaking something. There's a concussion in there. No chance. Yeah. Absolutely. If I'm having to tackle, form tackles, no chance. I'm diving at feet.
Yeah.
And hoping to clip an ankle. That's what I'm going for. All right, we got more coming up from this game. But before we do that, we got to get to Faraz Siddiqui. Fantasy Friday coming up next. Answering your fantasy football questions ahead of Week 1. We had a game last night. There's a game tonight. Don't forget that. We got Eagles-Packers. We'll dive into that game. But your questions with Faraz Siddiqui coming up next at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, or at YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. It's all there for you with Fantasy Friday coming up next on The Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy joining us for Fantasy Friday. Faraz will be with us each and every Friday during the NFL season. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. Upper Hand Fantasy on Instagram. Tons of good content at both of those spots. Faraz, real quick, before we dive into the fantasy football of all this. Of course, James and I have some questions. We'll take some listener questions as well. Before we dive into all that, I wanted to let you know that James and I, just this morning, jumped onto the Upper Hand Fantasy website, and we're digging around, and we saw a shop on there. And our plan moving forward is to be rocking some Upper Hand Fantasy merch on Fridays. That's something we plan on doing.
That's what I'm talking about. And what that basically means is that, hey, Faraz, can you send us some merch?
No,
please.
No, I am going to text you separately about this because I don't want to spend a bunch of time doing this, but I am going to text you about this.
Is that what you're going to text me? You can text me your address. That's what you're going to
do. Well, the station's address. Yes. no, we're not looking for free stuff. We want to make sure that you're getting your money.
I just said, I'll text you. We'll do that separately.
No doubt, man.
Chiefs 27, Ravens 20. I want to start with something we didn't get to in the first segment. We'll just loop you into this conversation here. You worried at all about Travis Kelce's production this year based on last night?
I'm not as worried as I am about him. I'm a little more worried about Mark Andrews personally. But Travis Kelce, listen, it's one game. Like, we know that, you know, you can't help but think, you know, he's 35 years old. Like, the drop off is going to come at some point. Like, it's just so hard to accept it, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't have Kelce ranked in my top, you know, three tight ends or anything.
Oh, frozen for us?
Oh, we have frozen for us.
This is a first for us.
Oh, he's back.
He's back. He's back. Okay, here we go. Okay, keep going.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I think my kid's probably like streaming something. Streaming eight things at
probably
once.
Probably this
maybe
show.
And turn the microwave on.
They're probably tapped in.
Probably. What I was saying was that I'm not super worried about Travis Kelce, but he's 35 years old. You might have to worry a little bit, but I'm still starting him next week no matter what. But I am going to like look around on the waiver wire, right? Like maybe I don't know if I'm going to spend up for Isaiah Likely if I have Travis Kelce, but like I will kind of, if you're, you know, waiver priority, sure. Like you want to burn your second first waiver priority, sure. But like fab wise, I'm not dropping the bag on Isaiah Likely or any other tight end who happens to pop off this week. Maybe I'll go pick up Zach Ertz right now. Maybe I'll go pick up Taysom Hill right now, you know, just in case. That drop off is here, but you know, I don't know. I mean, Rashee Rice is looking like their number one wide receiver right now, easily.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you brought up Likely there, and he just jumped off the page. Like watching him, you're just like, holy cow, look how good he is. He's big, he's athletic, he's fast, he's got good hands. Where should people be on Likely? I know you just said, you know, don't go out and drop the bag, but you know, sometimes you do. Sometimes you look at a player like that and go, okay, you know, like last year's Puka Nacua, I think that's what we're all looking for.
Whoa. What happened?
We just lost our Wi-Fi.
We lost our entire stream?
Our stream just died. Okay. I'm assuming we're still on the air.
Okay, this is, I hope so.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's there. Okay, Faraz, are we back?
We've got frozen, drugged out Faraz. I don't know what's happening. We're having technical difficulties.
Hey, Mitch, are you calling about fantasy football?
Oh, no.
Brutal. Okay, here's Faraz. Faraz is back. Faraz, hey, hello. We're having some technical problems here in the studio. Thank you for bearing with us.
No worries, man. And thank you for taking the blame because it's definitely not your fault. It's definitely not your fault for sure. It's definitely me. And I apologize. But I'm sorry, James, you were saying.
Oh, I was asking about Likely and just how incredible he looks in week one. Yeah. But how do you, I mean, they still have Mark Andrews. How do you not drop the bag on him? And I think everyone is out there looking for what like last year was is Puka Nacua in week one. And like I paid a big money because I'm like, oh, somebody's gonna, you know, we have Rams fans in the league, and you had to jump all over him and overpay. But where are you at with Likely as a potential like star level tight end?
Yeah, you know, it's very possible that he ends up being that guy. However, Mark Andrews is there, right? He's going to continue to be there. And it goes for both of them, right? It's possible that they each limit each other's upside. Like, this is probably Isaiah Likely's best game of the season. Like, that would be my guess, right? You know, less than 70% route participation. You know, Mark Andrews is up there at 75%. They're going to run two tight ends as their base set. And that's what they've been doing. They did that this game all game long. It wasn't just because they were down or anything like that. Usually you end up going into like three wide receiver sets in those situations. But they're going to limit each other's upside a little bit. I think Mark Andrews definitely lost a little value last night because of the fact that it looks like Isaiah Likely is literally going to be probably their second or third target on this team. And he's a tight end. And it's because they go into 12 personnel and because Mark Andrews was off the field in 11 personnel at times in three wide receiver sets. And it was just Likely on the field. that's going to hurt Andrews as well. But if I don't have a tight end, let's say I punted tight end, that's when I'll spend up on Isaiah Likely, right? Because I could potentially get that top six, top seven upside type of tight end, opposed to maybe already having a top six tight end who underperformed this week and then going ahead and trying to get, you know, him off the waiver wire.
Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy. It is a Odyssey podcast. You can get it on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. So I'm going to do something rare here, and I'm going to talk to you about my fantasy team. So James and I have a team together this year, actually. We're in our work league co-managing a team. I have a dynasty team as well. I drafted Xavier Worthy in the first round. Should last night be an exciting moment for me, or was last night a flash in the pan? You're not really expecting to see Xavier Worthy have that kind of output game in and game out.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's both, right? Like you are worried about the consistency, right? There's no doubt about it, right? But I think the fact that he was able to take his first touch for a touchdown, you know what I'm saying? Like that's really nice. Now the second touchdown, it was a broken play, right? Marlon Humphrey thought he had a safety behind him or somebody behind him, right? On that play, he was surprised when he looked back, he didn't see anybody. It was a broken play. He scored a touchdown. So, you know, this is not a game where you say like, okay, now Xavier Worthy, I'm starting him every week. No, right? Like he's still, I think, in my opinion, an upside flex play. A lot of people today asked me like, hey, should I sell high on Xavier Worthy? Like, and not in Dynasty. In Dynasty, obviously, you're not doing that.
Right.
In redraft, season long, should I sell high? And my answer is no, but still put out feelers. The reason why, obviously, you want to see like, what is somebody willing to offer you, right? But also, the reason why I don't want to sell high is because it is one game. It is his first game as a rookie. Andy Reid can potentially kind of keep, you know, implementing him into the game plan a little bit more. I know Hollywood's coming back, so that's going to make an impact on Worthy's time on the field, his targets, and all that kind of thing. He only had three targets yesterday,
right?
Four total opportunities. Not a lot, okay? So you can't really hang your head on that, but you do hang your head on the fact that when he was given opportunity, he succeeded. And now he showed that he belongs, and now Andy Reid's going to be like, all right, well, let's see how much he can handle.
You know, for us, we watch two quarterbacks that, like, we keep talking about who's number one, who's number two as far as the, like, tiers, right? We're talking tiers when it comes to Mahomes, when it comes to Lamar Jackson. Did Lamar show you something last night, or are you still, like, firmly, I guess this isn't a fantasy football question as much as it is, like, a football question. Do you still keep these guys separated, or did Lamar just do enough and just come up a little bit short for the win?
Oh, for the win. So we're talking real football. You know, it's interesting because, you know, in the red zone, that throw that seemed like it was a bad throw to Zay Flowers, right? You know, there's a couple of different things that could have happened in that play. Number one, he said he was actually going for Bateman and he thought Bateman was going to circle back on that route, right? And kind of body his defender and come back. That's number one. Number two, so everyone thought it was for Zay Flowers, right? And Zay Flowers was surprised that he threw the ball where he did. But number two is that Zay Flowers had a zone that he could have sat in right there.
Yep.
And I think that's what Lamar was trying to do. So the fact that Zay Flowers kept running is something that Lamar wasn't expecting. And maybe a veteran, you know, if it was someone like Keenan Allen, you know, Keenan Allen would have stayed and sat there in that zone as a tried and true type of player. He knows exactly what to do. So, you know, I know that a lot of the blame, and rightfully so, man, the blame is going to go on the quarterback all the time, right? But I think he could have made that throw. Now, where he did miss a throw was that Isaiah Likely corner touchdown where he got hurt.
Yeah.
I do think he was way late on that throw and inaccurate on that throw. So, you know, he made some mistakes. There's no doubt about that. But I think Likely would have scored if that throw was right.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, joining us now, as he will every Friday for Fantasy Friday here on The Insiders. I'm going to take some listener questions now. James, if you have any more questions for you, go for it. I'm just going to rock with some listener questions. Har_San in the chatty house. Would you rather start Gus Edwards or Diontae Johnson at the flex this week?
I'm going to go Diontae. You know, they basically said that, you know, they're going to run some sort of committee, you know, in the Chargers' hot hand approach, right? That's what Greg Roman said. So I think Gus Edwards is going to be the 1A, but we kind of don't know at this point. Deontay's the clear number one, especially if this is a PPR league, half PPR, even non-PPR. I'm still rolling with Deontay, to be honest.
I'll hit one from Johnny G. Should I start Mostert or Godwin in my flex?
What's up, Johnny G? This is tough. I really like Godwin's matchup. He's going up against a rookie nickel corner this week. So in PPR, if you want a safe floor, maybe you go Godwin, but I think Mostert is the upside pick here. Me personally, the type of player that I am, I go for upside, so I'm going to play Mostert. But if you're looking for a safe pick, in PPR especially, go Godwin.
Got a lot of people asking about their flex spots. Loki Trickster asking Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah,
or
well,
T. Higgins.
Well, check this out, right?
Yeah.
Everybody drafted, right? It's week one. They kind of know who they're starting based on how they drafted, right? But then it's those flex spots. They're like, oh man, like what should I do? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I that's a great point. So Loki Trickster asks Rashid Shaheed or T. Higgins in their flex.
This one's tricky because T. Higgins didn't practice today. He tweaked his hammy yesterday. And this is really annoying because the last time T. Higgins was active when he was hurt, he played like one snap and he got you 0 points. So this is not fun. We have a precedent here. And if T. Higgins is, you know, he didn't practice today. So we got to hear some more reports. If it's super, super positive, like there's like a report saying that he's going to play and it's going to be all good, like sure, play T. Higgins. But if there's any doubt that he's getting on any sort of pitch count, I'm just going to roll with Rashid Shaheed and not risk having 0 points in my lineup.
I'm going to go to my fantasy team because this is what I like to do.
Dollar in the jar.
That's right. We chose a group of wide receivers, and I'm piggybacking off of this. Rashid Shaheed is one of these that we chose, but we went for Jaden Reed. We went for Jameson Williams. We went for Joshua Palmer, and then we added Shaheed late. Is there enough upside there for one of those guys to be a wide receiver two, wide receiver three? Or did we just completely mess up our draft?
No, I don't think so. So you said Rashid Shaheed, you said Jameson Williams and Josh Palmer. Is that right?
Jaden Reed.
Oh, well, Jaden Reed, I don't think is in that category. I think he's above those guys. Like he is, I think, like the guy that you can kind of start every week and kind of hope that he does well. I think he's a low-end wide receiver three. Those other guys are more so flex plays, I would say, you know, at best. We'll see if Jameson Williams can recapture, you know, who he was, you know, as an elite prospect coming out, hopefully, you know. That's a wait-and-see game. Josh Palmer, we'll see who is the number one wide receiver, you know, for Justin Herbert, right? Is it him? Is it Ladd McConkey? I think that's a question that remains unanswered at this point. I think McConkey does have higher upside, but Palmer, you know, he has a rapport with him already. And then you mentioned Rashid Shaheed. Rashid Shaheed has a legitimate chance to become literally one of the best deep threats in the NFL. So, you know, boom, bust type of option. But like, you know, think of Brandon Cooks, you know, think of these guys who you put in your lineup. You don't know whether you're going to get 5 points or whether you're going to get 20 points. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you look at all of the metrics for deep receiving last year, he was probably top five in every single one. So he could be somebody that surprises in a better offense. Last year's offense was really, really just all over the place in terms of play design. Now they have a real offense, I would say, real install. So I think he could definitely turn some heads this year.
Talking with Faraz Siddiqui on a Fantasy Friday, upperhandfantasy.com is the website. So James and I have this team together at Odyssey Sacramento. They needed one more player. And they said, hey, you guys do a team together. So we're doing that, and we're doing a whole thing with it on our show. I messed up during the draft because James and I couldn't be in the draft at the same time. So what right. We decided to do was alternate picks. And in the midst of us discussing who we were going to pick and what direction we wanted to go, I auto-drafted Christian Kirk.
And you ruined everything.
I just destroyed everything. And then later decided to just lean into the bit, and I took Brian Thomas a couple of rounds later. Who do you feel better about between Christian Kirk and Brian Thomas this year, or can we just drop both of them now?
No, man. I think, you know, my only concern – so I'll say this. Christian Kirk is definitely the safer option between the two. Brian Thomas is like the upside guy, right? Can he do his thing in year one? He showed some promise in the preseason. He still has some stuff to polish up in his game. But like, I look at him kind of like a DK Metcalf light coming out in terms of like, he had a lot of things to do in terms of refining his game, but there's a lot he could do that can impact in year one. Right. And that's kind of how I view him. Let's see if Trevor Lawrence, you know, I think he can fit Trevor Lawrence's skill set a little bit. So there's a little wait and see game. You kind of know what to expect with Christian Kirk, man. Like, I think he's either going to be first or second in targets on that team. But, you know, short to intermediate PPR type of guy. Is this a full PPR league?
Half PPR.
Okay, you guys completely messed up then. I just think, like, just auto draft completely messed up. I think Brian Thomas is probably the guy for you. I'm still starting Christian Kirk week one over him because I want to see what happens. Now, if Jalen Ramsey's out, by the way, I'm probably starting Brian Thomas just because of the fact that he can potentially go off against that secondary. I think you guys will be fine. You guys will be fine. You know, like, you know that meme with, like, the guy sitting there, everything's fine, and there's a fire around them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that.
Perfect. No, perfect. You know? That's exactly what I was going for.
Right. But I would definitely trade one of them if you can.
Okay, perfect.
We have a deep roster. I think we're okay there. Let's get to Willsy. Willsy, according to Willsy, he got screwed at quarterback in one of his drafts. Everyone got them super early and took second QBs early in a double flex league. Should he go with Geno? Should he go with Will Levis or Baker? I think I would just end my season now. Just give them your money and know that you're not getting any back.
Oh, man. Listen, I think Geno's underrated this year. I think Levis is underrated this year. I think Baker is rated about right, I think. Maybe a little overrated. But Baker, I think Baker's my choice here. I think, you know, they're going up against Washington. You know, that secondary isn't, you know, good. He has solid weapons. Like I said, Godwin's going up against him. Godwin's moving back into the slot, guys. It's going to be huge for him and for Baker. So he's going up against a rookie. You got Mike Evans, you know, going up against some, you know, perimeter corners who've given up a ton of fantasy points last year. I'm going Baker here personally, but I don't care about stacking quarterbacks in a regular league. Like, if it's not a tournament, there's really no reason to stack, to be honest. It's just fun when they score a touchdown. That's all.
Right. No doubt. Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, joining us now. Our guy Ramsey in the chat every day. Loyal listener to this station for as long as I've been around. Not a fantasy guy, but wants to know if you've got any best bets against the spread this week.
Against the spread? I'm sorry, Ramsey. I don't have any for you because I haven't looked at them yet. I do this all the time to you guys. I come in on Fridays, totally unprepared, haven't looked at the spreads much. I think against the spread, I don't know, but I do have, like, I kind of like the over in the Rams and Lions game, even though it's set at pretty high. I think it's set at like 50.5, if I'm not mistaken. But Rams Lions Sunday night, I like the over on that one. I think it's gonna be fireworks.
There you go.
We've got one from Alfonso Valdez. Faraz, how do you feel about Ezekiel Elliott this year?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to pick him up off of waivers or something, like, you know, I think it's fine. No, I'm kidding. I think Zeke is probably the goal line back for the Cowboys. But I do. All indications are that Rico Dowdle is going to be the between the 20s back. That's what it seems like to me.
Okay.
And he'll obviously get some red zone work too. But, like, at the goal line, probably Zeke. They'll probably mix in Rico a little bit here and there. But I think that's kind of the limitation on his role at this point. I could totally be wrong, right? Because last year you saw with the Patriots, you know, he was right next to Ramondre, who's a very good running back. So it really depends on how they want to use him. In a high flying, you know, like, pass first offense, like, I don't really see Zeke having this role between the 20s. I just don't. I think Rico fits that offense way more.
Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy. A couple more here, Faraz. Is there anybody in redraft leagues who went undrafted that you see on a lot of free agent or waiver wires that should be picked up today?
Yeah, 100%. Let me pull up my list because I have a bunch.
Oh, you got a list?
I have a bunch.
This is great.
I got a list. I got a list for you.
This is why you don't have bets against the spread for us, is because you're putting lists like this together.
Exactly. Jaleel McLaughlin. Jaleel McLaughlin, he is the RB2 for the Broncos, okay? Last year, and Samaje Perine left to the Chiefs. We saw him last night, right? If you missed that move, you were probably surprised. Like, what is Samaje Perine doing on the Chiefs? But the Broncos cut him because that room was really they had a lot of running backs. They have a rookie coming in, too. But I think it's going to be a two-man backfield between Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin. Jaleel McLaughlin was one of the most efficient running backs last season among all running backs, not just rookies. And he was the most productive college running back ever. So I would pick him up and I would stash him, because last year the Broncos led all every team in targets to the running back position. And this is a common theme with Sean Payton. So that's what I would do. That's one guy I would pick up. If you want a bunch, I have a list, guys. It's all good. Dontavian Wicks for tonight, before tonight's game. Oh. I think that's a good move, too, if he's available.
Mm. Okay. Let's hit Stephen Castaneda's question. Is Jonathan Brooks worth the IR stash?
Oh, 1,000%. Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, he can come back, you know, after week four and then, you know, maybe ramp up a little bit week five, week six, and then maybe become a full go by week seven or week eight. He's very, very talented. Keep him on IR. You know, we've seen this before with talented backs, and some of them as rookies, you know, finish as RB1s on a points per game basis. So 100%.
All right. Last question here for Oz. Yeah, you're always super generous with your time. We appreciate the heck out of it. And then I'm going to try and take a phone call.
Uh-oh.
We're going to try that before we get you out of here.
Okay.
Soren Smith, his girlfriend wants to know, Achane and Mostert, she has them both. Would you hold both or trade one?
I would wait until Mostert has a big game or two and then trade him and then keep Achane.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm going to try and get to the phones here. We're going to do this for the very first time.
Okay.
And it's none other than America's favorite sports talk radio caller, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what fantasy question do you have for Faraz? Mitch.
Oh, I got a cold back.
Classic. That was so good. Okay. Typical New Jersey. Typical New Jersey. Okay?
That's right. That's
what
right.
I say. I'm kidding. I'm in Jersey right now. So, you know.
Okay.
Go find Mitch. He's got a question for you.
That's my people. I totally get that. I totally get it.
Okay. So we have homework for you before we see you next week. We need you to go to YouTube and type in Let's Ram It and watch the 86 Los Angeles Rams hype video, which is playing off of the 85 Bears Super Bowl video.
All right. I can't wait.
It's unbelievable mid-80s content.
You're probably going to share it with others. I'm just going to tell you. You're going to share it with others.
I can't wait.
It's completely
thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Faraz, thank you so much. We appreciate you for dropping by. We can't wait to talk to you next Friday. And I'm going to text you not texting the address to the station about merch so we can rock some Upper Hand Fantasy merch on
that's right.
Fantasy Fridays.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Faraz. See you, buddy. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. Follow him on Instagram, at UpperHandFantasy. Just a terrific Instagram follow.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, just a couple of little bite-sized pieces of information for you, maybe a question you hadn't even thought about considering, and you got a post right there answering it for you. Dontavian Wicks, he brought up.
Oh.
I have him in Dynasty. Maybe I'll start him this week.
Oh? I don't know.
There's a game tonight.
There is a game tonight. I'm excited to watch more football, although I don't know how much
Friday's
football I'm going to get.
Weird, dude. A Friday game's weird. A
Friday game is weird, and it's on Peacock, right?
Yeah, it feels rescheduled, right? Like a game on Friday feels like, there was bad weather and the team couldn't fly in, so they scheduled it for the next Friday.
Well, this is the other thing I'm going to point out. If you're not going to be able to watch the game right on time, this is one of my problems with Peacock because we watch a lot of soccer. If you don't add it to your list of things, then there's a good chance that you can't watch it until the replay starts. Like, you can go into it late, but you can't go back to the beginning, which you can with most things now.
Mm-hmm.
So there, and then once the game ends, like for soccer, there's like an hour and a half where you can't rewatch it. You have to wait until the replay gets processed and put back up.
Gross.
It's absolutely horrible.
That stinks.
It's not a great interface.
That stinks.
Yeah.
I'll be watching football tonight for sure. We'll talk about that game, Eagles-Packers tonight in Brazil. And some not-so-great 49ers news dropped yesterday. And am I overreacting? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.